It's time for your weekly dose of nostalgia with the 80s and 90s Uncensored. I am Milo Dennison.
And I'm Jamie Fenderson. And today we're talking about Hollywood legend James Hong.
And he is a legend, although people are probably like, James Hong, who's that? I don't know who that is.
Yeah, but you actually do, because he's has over 600 credits to his name. And he's considered maybe a contender, if not the most prolific actor in English language cinema. So you know James, you just might not appreciate him as much as you should, which is why we're doing this podcast, because James Hong is a beast and he's awesome and he needs the love. And he's getting quite a bit of love. So I thought it would be kind of fun to talk about him, because recently kind of two things happened. So for his 95th birthday, just last month or maybe late February, somewhere around there, he had a ceremony where he placed his handprints and footprints in cement at the TCL Chinese Theater, which he remembers going to when he was like 19 back in like the early 50s.
Not as many handprints in front of the theater back then.
Yeah. But now he's immortalized there, because there was a bunch of Asian American actors and directors, and it was a big deal. They celebrated his birthday by immortalizing him. And I thought it was funny because it's his handprints and his footprints, like they want it all. You know what I'm saying? And then recently he was hanging out with because Kung Fu Panda 4 is coming out, and he's the voice actor in Kung Fu Panda. And he was out at the film's premiere in LA, hanging out with the cast at the premiere, and the guy is spry, dude. He's like jumping around, goofing around with his mates and his fellow actors, and he's 95, but the guy he's just a stud, man. He's like twirling around, jumping around, all excited. I'm like, dude, don't you know you're old?
I don't think he does.
He doesn't know.
He has no idea. Agile. You can still take acting classes from him. Like if you go to his website, jameshong.com, like he teaches acting. The dude's 95.
Wow. Yeah. He's pretty amazing. And we grew up with him. You can probably name a bunch of, so he's on TV. He's in movies. He's everywhere on the screen. You and I probably remember him most as from Big Trouble in Little China, which I think is it's the most fun role that I've seen him in, yeah, as Lo Pan. But he's everywhere. I mean, you look at this IMDb page and you just got to scroll and scroll and scroll to see all of his acting credits, all the stuff he's done. And he's been working since the 50s. And as you see now, he's working now. He does acting. He does a lot of voice acting. He's everywhere. And he's done so many things. The guy is a stud, man.
Yeah, he does not slow down. I would say a lot of people know him most recently from Everything Everywhere All at Once. He plays the dad in that. Have you seen that yet?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I haven't seen it, but I've seen videos about it.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. It's brilliant, and his character in it. So yeah, just to name a few, okay, people, you have seen this guy. Big Trouble in Little China, as Jamie mentioned, Blade Runner, Chinatown, Wayne's World 2, Seinfeld. I was watching an interview with him, and he says that's one of the things that people recognize him most from was his one appearance on an episode of Seinfeld in like the first season, right? And it's like people yell out to him like, Cartwright, Cartwright, Cartwright. Yeah, he was, like you said, the Kung Fu Panda movies. The guy's literally done everything. Hawaii 5-0, RIPD with Ryan Reynolds. Of course, Magnum P.I., as we've discussed in past episodes, that if you are an Asian American actor, or actually I think we discussed it on Overlooked, if you're an Asian American actor, mm-hmm, who was alive in the 80s, you appeared on at least one episode of Magnum P.I. Yeah. Airwolf, of course. The A-Team, of course. He was even in Days of Our Lives, like 8 episodes of a soap opera. Like,
What are you doing, James, there, James?
Everything.
Soap opera too.
Starsky and Hutch. Like, this guy has lit. There is nothing that he has not done. I dream of Jeannie. Like, I was scrolling through trying to count how many of the things I've seen that he's been in, and I kind of lost count because it just, yeah. You really got to pay attention because he's in everything.
Yeah, he really is. And I think he is, like, a lot of sources I see are like English. He's the most prolific actor in English language cinema. And that's not just Asian American actor. That's not just this that kind of actor. It's like any
Period.
Actor.
Yeah.
He's the most prolific one in English language cinema of all time.
I don't know any actor who's done anywhere between, 600 to maybe 700 acting roles, depending on your source.
Yeah.
Like IMDb has 460, but that's estimated to be low. There's tons of stuff he's done that's not even listed on IMDb. He's done so much.
These websites can't even keep track of James. They're like, man, this guy's all over the place. So he was born in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Or in Minnesota. It might not have been Minneapolis. I might be misstating that, but he's definitely from Minnesota.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think it was Minneapolis is what I found as well.
And during the Korean War, he was part of the Army Special Services. So he was an entertainer for the troops. So these are like soldier entertainers. They're soldiers, but they're also entertainers. But he was so good at entertaining his fellow soldiers that he stayed in the U.S. during the Korean War. And he headed Camp Rucker's live shows. So when soldiers would come back, they want to be entertained. He was in charge of all the shows at that camp. Then he's funny. He's like, I'm actually glad that happened because I may have been just as likely shot on the front lines retreating from the enemy as charging toward them. He said that.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So he's been acting and producing a film, television, video games.
Oh yeah, he does a lot of voiceover
work. He's got a lot of voiceover video. Yeah, you'll hear him, and he has a very distinctive, and it's funny because he sounds like this kind of old Chinese guy. And he's even said, if like the reason why I got so many jobs is I'm good at being the old Asian, like the older Asian, like I'm just good at that, and they hire me for it, right? But he's been doing it since the 1950s, and he hasn't stopped since. Like, he literally, some people might slow down, maybe they're getting older. He hasn't slowed down.
No, he's 95 and the dude's still working
hard too. Like, he's coming out with the, you might see multiple stuff in 1 year. Like, oh, I did a video game and Kung Fu Panda 4 and I was on a soap opera, whatever. He's just always working. And it makes sense that he does the voiceover stuff too, because he's got that kind of
voice.
Yeah, like, and he sounds like an old Asian dude, kind of, right? Yeah. So if you need kind of that, you know, Avatar, Last Airbender kind of voice, he's got that. So it's funny because he's from Minneapolis, right? But he's totally got that whole old Asian dude vibe going on.
Yeah, I'm kind of irritated, actually, speaking of Avatar, because we just finished watching the new series on Netflix, the first season of it, and he's not in it.
He should have been, because I don't hate that show, but it definitely needed a few more better actors.
Yeah, I think it's all right too, but we did critique some of the casting in watching it, but that's, you know, it's hard though, because the good thing is they actually
hired like Native American
actual
Asian actors this time. A lot of them are like half Asian because they didn't want to get too Asian on it, but at least they hired
Asian ancestry.
People, at least somewhat Asian. But he should have been in that, and that he wasn't is a travesty, but maybe he didn't want to be. Who knows? Maybe he was too busy
working on something else.
He's got things
to
do.
Well, they're doing more seasons, so you guys better put him in at least one of the episodes.
You hear that, Hollywood? Netflix. You hear Milo? Listen
to me.
Listen, Netflix. Listen to Milo. You need to put James Hong in the next season of that Avatar, The Last Airbender show. Because, look, it's a cool show, and I recommend watching it, but you've got some pretty crappy actors in that show, and you need to James Hongify that action. I'm not kidding. Because you got some pretty cheesy actors who maybe need to go to the James Hong School of Acting. He'll teach them. You should hire him
to teach
to come on and not only be on the show, but he can teach some of those crappy young actors how to act, because they're pretty bad,
there you
dude.
Go.
They need some James Hong in their lives. You hear that, Netflix?
Make that happen.
James, Hongify your avatar. Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to start going down because you got some pretty bad acting in that action. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to critique it.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true. It's pretty bad. You need James Hong in your life, Netflix.
It's funny that he was born in Minnesota because I saw an interview with him and he was talking about how he didn't speak very good English up until like the age of 9. And when he went to school, the other kids would pick on him because his English was so bad. I know he went to, where's he from? Korea, I think he said he's from Korea, or nationality wise. And he was talking about going and visiting, but beyond that, he was raised in the US. So I'm guessing maybe his parents were first generation and only spoke at home, which might be why he had that problem.
Yeah, and this was the 50s, right? So it's not like Asian descended people were favored all that much in the 50s, you know what I mean? So it could have been that maybe he was, and we should have done more research on this, but maybe he was kind of in his, you know how a lot of ethnic communities, minority communities kind of stick around. Like, that's why we have so many cool Chinatowns, is a lot of these, and I don't think he's Korean. I think his ancestors from Hong Kong. So
is that
like
what it
Cantonese,
is? Hong Kong. Okay. Yeah.
Which makes sense because a lot of the Cantonese people that, I mean, that's how we get our sweet Chinatowns. Right. So here it is. I actually have it up. His family had an herb shop in Chinatown in Minneapolis. So his mother looked after him and he had 6 siblings. So he had 6 siblings and they were in Chinatown at an herb shop. So I think he was really in that. And you don't see it as much anymore, but back then you'd see the Cantonese Chinatowns were very much Chinatowns. Like, it's not like you go there to eat Chinese food and it's like a bunch of white people and stuff nowadays. It's like they were Chinatowns, dude, and they didn't speak English. And even their kids born there, they might have not have spoke English either. Like, it was very insulated. So I think that's what was going on with James, is he's straight up Chinatown, bro. Even though he was born in Minneapolis, he's straight up Chinatown, man.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So the other James Hong, he was born in Minneapolis, but when he was 5, his family moved to Hong Kong.
Oh, that's what it was. I knew there was something around the age of 9 he was in Hong Kong. Or maybe that's when he came back from Hong Kong. So maybe
he moved back when he was around 9 or 10.
That's it. So he went to Hong Kong, lived there, learned was speaking the language, came back to the U.S. Mm-hmm. And they were like, that's what it was. Yeah. Like, yep. So I watched an interview with him and he talked about it a bit, but I didn't quite catch the timeline.
Yeah. So that's why his English wasn't so good. And I think that's why he has that kind of Cantonese accent, which works. Mm-hmm. Because if he was like really kind of talking completely like with a hardcore American accent, I don't think he would have done as well, because his voice acting and his kind of mild Cantonese accent works for the type of roles he does and the type of voice acting he does.
Yeah, he would have probably had to learn to do that accent.
Yeah,
to do more work.
He probably would have had to learn to do the accent, but he just has it, so he's cool, right? So what could be viewed as a like something that's like not good is actually good, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so a little bit more about James, his history. He went to school, actually, to be an engineer, and that's kind of what he studied. But he eventually quit to be a full-time actor, went to L.A. and did that. This is where he started that acting school. He's one of the founders of the East-West Players, which is the oldest Asian-American theater in L.A. He served as its president and charter member of the Association of Asian Pacific American Artists. And one of the reasons why he did this is because when he was starting out, you couldn't get good roles, right? Like, this is...
Well, you could get roles, but...
Yeah, it was
back
stereotypes.
Then it's usually like someone to like for the to have as an enemy or someone to blow up, or, you know, it's like it's
the henchmen.
Roles were very limited. Yeah,
yeah, henchmen. If they wanted a lead Asian character, they had a white person play it. Like,
yeah.
Same with a lot of Native American roles that usually played by a white person.
When,
yeah.
When they try to make him look Japanese.
Yeah, that's basically it.
You're like, we're going to make you look Japanese and put some makeup on him. Yeah, you're Japanese now.
Yeah, you're Sean Japanese Connery. Now. Yeah, so he wasn't getting a lot of good roles. and we help start that in order, kind of one of the reasons is to show like, hey, look, you know, we can act. He appeared on an episode, apparently, he did appear on an episode of Groucho Marx's show, You Bet Your Life, and he did an impersonation of Groucho and James Cagney and a few others. And that actually is what got him an agent, which helped get him start getting into the business a bit more as well, because that got seen and they're like, oh, this guy's got some talent. Let's start casting him and stuff. He's been in 4 films that have been selected for the National Film Registry by the Library of Congress: Flower Drum Song, Chinatown Airplane, and Blade Runner. And I want to know, why is Big Trouble in Little China not on that list?
I don't know. I think that's my favorite role.
Yeah.
And that's my favorite role because he really played 2 characters. So when he's like in his human form, he's like this shriveled up mummy in an electric chair. It looks like he shouldn't be alive. It's just all, but then he gets into his like sorcerer form and he's like this 8-foot tall badass sorcerer using magic and stuff. It's the coolest role. I think this is my favorite role, my favorite James Hong role, because he really played 2 roles.
And 100%.
Lo Pan's badass.
Yeah.
He's so badass.
And he's just looking for love, people. Like, again, everybody just assumes he's the bad guy. And he's just looking for love. He's got a couple young ladies that he wants to love. What's wrong with that? Jeez.
He's a player.
Yeah.
Lo Pan's a player. Why you got
to
hate?
Get around. He knows he's going to be young again. He's going to be very energetic. He's going to need a couple ladies. Did you see that he auditioned for the role of Lieutenant Sulu in Star Trek, the original series?
Yeah.
That went to George Takei.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it would have worked, but George Takei was the better. I would have cast George Takei too. I mean,
yeah,
he was a good fit for that role.
Yeah. And I found another little tidbit here. So he did all that acting stuff and like he's a legend now, but I guess his interest in acting came when, so his father had that shop. And picking opera performers used to go to his father's shop and rehearse. And so he was growing up in that herb shop, and picking actors would use it to rehearse their picking opera. And he's like, that's kind of cool. And that's what sparked his interest in acting.
That's cool.
And I got to respect James and any Asian actor, Asian American actor from the time, because, you know, he faced a lot of discrimination back in the early days. And he would be passed over, just like a lot of Asian actors were passed over for even like students, like white students. But he just kept at it. Obviously, he just kept at it, right? Because you got to admire the persistence, because he's like, okay, a lot of people might give up. Like, well, you're just going to cast white people and I'm being discriminated. And maybe there's just not a place for me in the acting world. But he didn't. He persisted and he kept going. And obviously that shows, because he's 95 and he's still persisting.
Yeah.
He's still going. I think maybe it's in his head, like, I just got to keep going, keep going, keep going. That's why he's jumping around with his castmates looking all spry. The guy looks like he has more energy than me.
Like, he looks like the same thing.
Like, I'd be like, man, if I hung out with James Hong, I might actually get kind of tired, because he's got a lot of energy, man. And I'm kind of fat and lazy. Like, this guy, and he's 95, he's killing it.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. I can't remember what type of martial art that he does, but he does some type of martial art as well. So props, because I was watching an interview with him, and the guy, and they're basically asking, like, how are you so energetic? And he's like, I do whatever it was, Taekwondo, or I honestly don't remember what it was, but still. Well, and to get back to your point of him, you know, his perseverance, his commitment to like sticking with it, because yeah, a lot of people do that too. Like, I know I'm that way. I'm like, oh, I tried, it didn't work out, I gave up. Mm-hmm. And he's like, look, I did this in the like 40s and 50s when nobody was casting Asian American actors. If you did get cast in something, it was basically standing in the background looking like the Asian soldier.
Yeah.
You know?
And you're gonna get shot up or something.
Yeah. He was like, I literally got treated like a second class citizen. And, you know, I've kind of worked through it and still working through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's an example that like you really need to be serious if you want to succeed at something, and you really need to work hard at it. And, you know, obviously there's a bit aspect of talent and luck and stuff like that too, but like there's also a commitment level that,
yeah,
that
and he has that
certainly I'll admit I don't. So yeah, I'm super impressed.
Yeah. And maybe James is a great example for aspiring actors. Like if you really want to make it, whatever race, creed, gender you are, being an actor is hard, right? Mm-hmm. And if you want to be like a really prolific one, if you want, you got to get out there and just do it and keep going and get denied, but keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going, keep going. And he did.
I'm jealous, that's man. I keep getting denied, man. Where's my chance? I'm auditioning.
You got to get that James Hong attitude and just, you know, let those rejections roll off your back like water on a duck. I guess is that the saying? I don't know if that's real, but
that's the saying, yeah.
But let that roll off. Let the rejections roll off. It's just part of the process. You need to get like your inner James Hong and be like, look, because imagine how many times this guy has been rejected.
Oh yeah, like we're talking about the times he's been put in something, but back in the day, he must have received thousands of rejections.
Right, but he's been in a trillion things, but he's probably been in 100 trillion things that he wasn't in because he got rejected, but he still persisted. So, Milo, you need to draw from your inner James Hong, and maybe even go to like, maybe we can go talk to James. Maybe he'll talk to you. And you could be
I need to go to LA and sign up for one of his acting classes.
You should, dude. You totally should. That'd be sweet, dude. I should do. I'm not even an actor, but I want to go.
I just want to go and be in a James Hong acting class.
I do. That'd be rad, dude. You're seeing James totally Hong rad. How to act. I would. I'm not even an actor, and I would do it because just to be in a James Hong acting class, it's probably expensive as shit, isn't it?
I don't know. It doesn't say on his website.
You probably, and like, probably
and if you want to sign up, it's like email us and it gives a Gmail address.
Oh, really?
It's like hongacting@gmail.com.
But you know what? It seems cheesy, but it's probably expensive as shit. Because
it's got to be.
If you're learning acting from James Hong, you probably got to pay up, dude. You're probably too broke ass. But what you should do is email that Gmail address and be like, hey, I'm a poor starving ad, but he probably gets a lot of those. He's like, I'm sorry sure about that, but show me the money.
Yeah. It's like, that's fine.
I'm 95. I got a retirement to think about. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to retire someday at like 200.
I don't think he is. I honestly think he will work up until the very end of his life. Like, unless he physically can't work anymore. Like, I honestly think he'll be like lying on his deathbed performing a character of an actor lying on his deathbed in some film.
Well, and when he finally kicks the bucket, it won't be because of any kind of bad health. It'll be just because he's just, his cells are like, dude, we're just old now. We gotta give up. It's like, not that you're unhealthy. It's just we're 150 years old and we just gotta give in, bro. That's probably what's gonna happen. He's probably gonna be like Betty White and just be spry until one day it's just like, well, he's just old. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with him. He's just, his cells gave up. It's like genetics and DNA and stuff, right?
Yeah, fact of life wears us down.
I hope James Hong sticks with us for quite a bit longer because I'm a huge fan. I know you're a huge fan. Mm. So, James, if you're listening, we know you're listening. We're huge fans. We love your work. We love you, and we think that you should give Milo free acting lessons.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that I've buttered that bread.
Or be like, hey, I know this white guy that needs to be in my next film.
Yeah!
These white guys nowadays aren't getting enough work.
You can hire him as some kind of soldier in the background.
Thug in the background. Some. Yeah, exactly.
You could be like a Russian soldier or something. Like,
I'll do it. Yet. I'll do it.
Yet. Oh, no! Yet. I'll get blown up by James Hong.
Oh.
He just shot me. I'm dead. And you'd be so happy.
It'd be sweet. I would absolutely do that. It'd be fantastic. All right, folks. We're going to wrap it up here. You can find out more about what we're up to on our website, the80sand90s.com. Visit us on Instagram at the 80sandnineties.com.
80sandnineties.com.
Yeah, without the dot. 80sandnineties.com. Whatever. Give us a review and all that kind of crap. Share with your friends and all that BS. And tell us what
it's not BS. It's not BS. Do it, people. Come on. When was the last time we got a review? It's been
some
time.
I need to upsell us. Yeah, sorry. Give us a review because we haven't. Yeah, it's true. We haven't read a good review in a while. We haven't read any reviews. We haven't gotten any reviews.
Yeah, so give us a review somewhere. Yeah. And And even if it's like not great, well, we'll take it. Shoot.
Yeah.
We'll be like, these guys are okay, but they suck. They go 3-star. Yeah, we'll be like, right. Hey, we got a 3-star. I'd eat a 3-star restaurant. You know what I'm saying?
True. True. Yeah, me too. All right, folks. And with that, we're going to leave you with this. Hollywood, Academy of Motion Arts, I know you're listening. We talk to you all the time on this show. Where the hell is this man's Lifetime Achievement Award? I want to see James Hong receive a Lifetime Achievement Award at the next Academy Awards. He's done more movies than any other actor, played amazing roles, and is a role model for Asian American and elderly Americans. The man is 95 and still acting, for crying out loud. Give him his damn Lifetime Achievement Award.
Testify.
Do it.
Can I get an amen? Testify.